Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 280, part 2, the conclusion to Promise 2. Today is Sunday, February 24th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Preachers, don't be afraid of ministering the cross and the blood, the burial and the resurrection. It is so powerful. The Bible says it's more powerful than any two-edged sword. And so it influences our minds. It influences our temper, and we have a restful spirit. The striving is gone. Oh, God, I'm so glad that striving is gone. I used to be so nervous and upset. Striving, 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 striving. Get this done. Hurry, hurry, worry, worry, hurry, hurry, worry, worry, hurry, hurry, worry, worry, hurry, hurry, worry, hop. It's gone. The shakes are gone. Are you listening on the radio? Were you ever an alcoholic? I was. The shakes are gone. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, God. You don't have to tie your arm up with a belt or your necktie and pull the drink up to your face. Miracle. Oh, God, folks. It's a miracle of peace. Hallelujah. It's that restful spirit. And like I said, the striving is gone and the judging is over. Judge not. Don't judge each other. You know what you do with the cloud of witnesses, CUS, when you have a judging outfit on? A long, corny old gown and a mallet. Don't judge one another. See, the gospel is real. The seed that we plant is a real and a right seed, and our warring and our fighting is over. And we yield to the present, and we await, the Bible says, for the future. We, like then Isaac, know that God is going to bless us. We know that God has promised it, and it shall be so. And we go on out there and we give that away. Are you hearing this word today, God? I hope you're hearing it today. I hope you're hearing it today. Are you hearing it, kids? And as a man's hopes are, such is he. What do you hope for today? That's what you are. your hopes today, radio audience? Oh, I hope I get it. Are you waiting for a rich uncle to die so you can be rich? Why live in speculation? Hopes, let's say, which have no outlook beyond the grave. I believe smoked up windows for the soul to look through. We have a blessed hope. I think that hopes that can be realized in this very much, very, very much dying world are mere mockeries. The Bible says, happy is he who believes the promise and feels assured of its fulfillment to himself in due time and leaves all else in the hands of infinite wisdom and love. Because that kind of hope, young people, will endure trials. That kind of hope will conquer temptations. Such a hope will enjoy heaven below. The kingdom of God is in you. When Christ died on the cross, our hopes began. When he rose, then they were confirmed. And when he went on high, they began to be fulfilled, going on. And when he comes again, they will be realized. Bible says, in this world we shall have tribulation. It also says that God will spread a table in the presence of our enemies. And in the world to come, the Bible says, we shall possess the land which floweth with milk and honey, a land of peace and joy, where the sun shall go down no more, neither shall the moon withdraw herself. Are you hearing this? Whoa, don't miss the closing. Until then, we hope, and our hope layeth hold upon a promise. I believe when we really and truly and with full trust in the promise, full expectation in the promise, when our hope layeth hold of the promise, when we have hope upon hope, when our hope lays a hold of the hope of the promise, then expect persecution. Oh, golly gee. Working for the cause of Christ, and then you get persecuted and stuff. You're different. You listening on the radio, you become different. You become, the Bible says, a peculiar people. You change. You changed. You're not the devil that you once were. You're different. I feel different. I have been to meetings where everybody is in there. I feel out of place. I do. I get in there and, oh, hi, Pastor Paul. Oh, okay. And they have these praise meetings. And everybody is praising and swaying their arms back and forth. Oh, we praise you for, it's my only chapter, forevermore. But we're not doing anything. They're empty praises. There's empty prayer meetings. Better to have a 5-minute prayer meeting than go on over to Perkins Cafe and, you know, pig out. Than have one of those that you pray all night and you don't accomplish anything, because when you talk to God, he talks back to you if you're talking to him. He'll give you something to do. Oh, we prayed in these prayer groups. We prayed, and you have a lot of women's prayer groups too. Okay, and they pray all night long, and they prophesy over each other. And in the name of Jesus, oh, what do you see? It's getting weird, almost like crystal balls. What do you see? Oh, yes, a tall, dark stranger coming into your life. Oh, a preacher, a Bible. Huh? Well, what does it bring? Satisfies fleshy appetites. And they sit there all night. And then they get done with the prayer meeting, and they sit there all night talking about, and then this happened, and that happened, and so on like that. And all night long. What do they accomplish? And they never do anything. What's wrong, everybody? The Bible says we're always learning and never coming to know Jesus Christ. You know, there's people that go to 5-year Bible studies and they never do a thing for the Lord. Better off to know just the gospel, just. Better off to know the gospel message, because as you start doing the gospel, you learn of Him. Come, action word, come, learn of me. That means, come on, fisherman. Come on, tax gatherer. Come on, whore. That's great that you washed my feet with your tears and wiped them with your hair. Come on. And the Pharisee looks, let's see if he knows. Do you fully realize? And he knew. And we're talking about God now, on earth. Do you realize who was crying on your feet? Unless that your righteousness, your law-keeping, exceeds the love that she's shown me here, and the honesty and the dedication and the humility, you will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. Good day, sir. No, I won't stay for dessert. Good day. Let me wrap this up. Expect persecution. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of a promise. I'm talking to everybody here on the radio in this tape. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. And that comes out of Galatians 5, 28 and 29. When brothers differ as much as Ishmael and Isaac, it is not surprising at all when they have a falling out, when they have hard feelings, when they become jealous, when they become envyful, it's a new word, when they become bitter, when they become resentful. Why is that? Because Ishmael was older than Isaac. And when the time for Isaac was to be, for him to be weaned, let's say, from his mother, Sarah, she saw something in the bondwoman. A mocking. And so very, very early, the difference of birth and condition began to display itself. The Bible says the flesh warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit warreth against the flesh. The condition of the flesh, fallen, corrupt, jealous, envious, hateful, spiteful, competing, and proud. Sounds quite a bit like some Christians too, doesn't it? And so Ishmael's condition is exposed. I think this may serve as an indication of what we may expect if we possess the God-given life. Expect it. And our heirs, the Bible says, according to the promise. Those under the bondage of the law cannot love, will not love, will never love those that are born free of the gospel message. And sooner or later, they show their hatred. And sad to say, folks, that even sometimes when you get into fully giving your life to Christ, are you hearing this? Fully, way in the back. Are you hearing this? When you fully give your life to Christ, you on the radio, have you heard this at all? You will be hated. And now I'm not talking about the hostility between the wicked world and the church. But I am speaking of that which exists between men of natural religion and those who are born of God. I am not speaking of the Philistine opposing Isaac, but of his brother Ishmael mocking him. And I have found, and I believe it to be true, the Bible of course is true, and it does warrant me to say this, the worst opposition comes from the externally religious to those who are born from above and worship God in the Spirit and truth. You know, it's sad, but I believe many precious, loyal, loving, dedicated, disciplined children of God have suffered bitterly from the cruel hatred of those who say they are brothers. Well, I'm closing.
Well, you said that before.
Well, if it's a suffering, then suffer for Christ's sake. Was the motive of Ishmael's envy, was it that he couldn't endure that little one should have preeminence over himself? Did he think this heir shouldn't be? I mean, I should be over him. I'm older. Do you think that his mother Hagar had anything to say about it? Do you think any coaching went on? Do you think any shoving out of the tent went on? Get out there. Remember, you are the heir. Go, just get out there. Go ahead. Be bold. Put the knife in your teeth and go on out there. Get on your camel and ride. Perhaps he mocked Isaac's heirship and boasted, I have as good as right to the estate as that brat. I mean, what's going on? I was here first. I think this then is like the mere professor's envy. The envy, what do they envy? They envy the condition of the believers. When you have that peace, when you have that joy, and when you have that suffering, and you keep right on going on, it's a kind of a weird thing. Once in a while, people will start to envy that. Not so that they join in. No, never that. Because the flesh can't join in. The flesh don't want to do it. I don't want to. You were mean to me. Are you hearing this? And I believe they are quite as good as the best of those who hope to be saved by the grace of God. God. If we ever needed to hear a message, we need to hear a message like I'm preaching right here today on the promises. See, they don't desire the grace of God for themselves because the grace of God will change you. They're mere professors. They're mere sitting in the seats. They're mere, you know, snapping their gum and blowing little bubbles. Do you ever try to preach to somebody that's got a bubble this big and you're looking through this face? Their face looks just horrible. They're not into it. Do you ever, you know what I'm talking about? Or somebody that's cleaning their nails? What are you doing on the radio right now? Huh? Don't answer that. They do not desire the grace of God for themselves, but yet like a dog with a bone they can't bear that others should have it. Young people, I'm merely telling you here today what you're going to have to put up with. And as the end comes, there's going to be more and more persecution, blessed persecution. The Bible says, be exceeding glad when these things happen to you. Exceedingly glad. Exceedingly laugh and have a good time, for you know that your redemption draweth nigh. But yet I said, like a dog with a bone they can't bear, others should have it. They envy the saints and they envy their hope. They envy their peace of mind. Guy called me and says, now you've been through a whole lot of things. How do you do it? How come you have so much peace of mind? I said, well, it was born of a promise. Have any of you found this out? Have any of you found out when you witness for Christ that your friends get scarce? Anybody in here at all? Anybody witnessing here at all? Anybody? Just put your hand. And, yeah, okay, that's beautiful. That's not real persecution, but yet, if you start to excel, now you don't pull back, but you start to excel in your good works, you cause conviction on them back there. And they want that bone, just like a dog. Don't be surprised. The envy of Ishmael displayed itself, I think, most at the feast, which was made for his brother's weaning. I think that's then like the formalist and the legalist. The I always do right people. The look how much I've suffered people. Look how much I've suffered for the cause of Christ. Well, that's not suffering. The elder brother we'll talk about that stayed down on the farm instead of going out and hitting Paris. And he sweated and he worked. And how was he rewarded, the elder brother? By coming home to find his free brother, even freer, making whoopee, having fun, laughing, dancing, joking. And look, he's got that new coat on. I thought it was hanging in the closet until my birthday. Oh, I hate him. I hate you. Did you ever have an Ishmael walk up to you? Veins sticking out, eyeballs protruding from their head, standing on their tiptoes, saying, I hate you. I have. I don't go on that. I go on a promise. The promise is you will suffer persecution. That's a sign. We're always looking for signs and wonders. That's a sign. Wow. Someone kicks me. Ooh, there's another sign. Wow. Boy, more signs than I can hardly handle. Hold off on the signs a while, will you, Lord? I've had all kinds of signs since I've been down here. From the Ishmael group, the Ish group. And it's wonderful because it's working. Even the half Ishmael Isaac folks are entering in. Your church is here today. You're entering in. Hope Presbyterian is entering in here. The Methodist people came down here and did a videotape that they're going to put, I hope, nationwide. Never weary in doing well, because in due season you'll be rewarded. Don't weary in doing well. What's that going to bring on? More persecution. Maybe they'll back up a garbage truck and pull a lever. Dump all their garbage on you. Drive away. Maybe they'll slander you and say all manner of evil against you for my namesake. Great is your reward in heaven. Just crawl out of the garbage. Whoo! Man, that's a sign. Big old stinking cabbage leaf across your face and some tomatoes on your elbows. And it comes from the eyes. I always do right people I'm talking about. and getting back to the elder son. Oh, God. And he got a ring on his finger. A ring! Oh, I hate him. That little sneak, why should he inherit anything? And then the servant goes, why don't you come on in and join us? No, never. Never. You'll see more and more of that in the end. I had to have cold sandwiches out there in the field. And here he is, eating roast leg of lamb. Ooh. I won't enter in. Never. I will not forgive. And we're seeing that. Isn't that strange? There is no forgiveness with brothers. They won't enter in. Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us, as we forgive them. How do you forgive them? Halfway? Give us this day our daily bread. We don't need portions and portions to rot away and hide in caves. I won't repent and I won't change. Never. I don't care if they kiss the Blarney Stone, I heard somebody say on TV. What kind of witness is that to the world? I'm better in the natural than they are. Ooh. I kept the whole law. Now they expect me to party with the servants. Well, when people say by the promise, no, it's full pardon. Full pardon. Once you've been born again, you can never lose it. No, it's full love and it's full truth. And become free. I'm talking about free. Free and you're dancing and praising and loving and trusting and laughing and knowing. Free. The legalists will say to you, poor fools. Let them alone. They are a sad group. They're having fun packing potatoes. Because people who are religious, but I believe are not truly regenerated, who are working and hoping to be saved by their own merits, their own moral, what, majority, usually show a bitter hatred towards those who are born of the promise. Sometimes they even mock our feebleness. I got to the meeting, it was in St. Paul, it was with the Medical Society. That's for this whole metropolitan area. And there was a great debate going on as to what was going to happen because the funds had been cut back. And now we're talking about money. There was all kinds of money in there. We're talking about, well, the funds have been cut back, and now, hey, we could have this $750,000, and we're talking $750,000. Bus with all of the unit in there, x-ray unit and this and so on like that, this kind of equipment. And I thought, well, why do we need all of that? Why not just have a bus with a chair that's screwed into the floor so, you know, you don't lose them and abuse them, and a table there and say, ah. You can learn a lot from a person if you can just have them open their mouth up and say, ah. Take a blood test. Right down there where 200, and Jim is a hobo bus driver, 200 meals are served down there. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of different people have come there from Seattle or wherever, come in there. And they say, would you like to have a free checkup? Why do we need all this expensive equipment to go on out and offer somebody some groceries or something to eat or a blood check? Are these important things? Oh, God, they're going to be important when our families are affected by it. And somebody in the family or somebody in our church comes and says, well, where's so-and-so? His seat is empty. He hasn't been looking too good lately. He comes in, you've seen him a couple months ago. He starts to deteriorate. Huh? You ever seen somebody that's dying? I'm not talking about being in the army. You see them die all the time. I'm talking about somebody that dies that kind of death. And they get all shrunken and you knew them real well and their eyes start sinking in the back of their head. Huh? And they just get sort of weird looking and then, where are they? I don't know how to tell you this, but die to AIDS. Die to this, die to that. And we're arguing about $750,000 pieces of equipment. Oh, okay, Pastor, your turn to talk. Get up now. I got 7 minutes, 10 minutes. Take 10 minutes, even 10 minutes. It won't take me that long. What we need down here is soap and water and some showers so that we can see what's wrong with the people after they get a bath. We can't even see the owies. They're covered up. The dirt is packed in to the sores. People are dying down there. Let's face it, people, there really isn't a whole lot of caring. You know, a bum can die and they can roll them up in the carpet. There's a lot of people that are out here at the dumps. They dump them in the dumpsters. Once in a while, they find them. Most of the time, they don't. They dump them in there, and there's kids that get out. And if you have any friends that are going to go out hitchhiking across the United States, I am mad at my folks, and I am going away, and I am going to hitchhike. Don't do it. There are what they call cruisers, and they cruise up and down, picking people up. There are more people that are murdered now here in the United States than you dare to even think about. We got problems. Problems right down here in River City. We got a lot of problems. There's a lot of hobos down there. They just naturally just, we just investigated another murder. What's wrong? What's wrong? Why isn't the church out there? Why aren't we out there? Why aren't we having someone say, ah? Why aren't, you know, you ever been someplace camping and you just feel so filthy and nasty and, ooh, you have to keep your arms like this because you smell so bad? Huh? Oh, and you get in the shower and you're all cleaned up and you get in your, camping is fun, but, oh, boy, does a shower feel good. Imagine not having a shower for a half a year. Well, how do these people get like this? This man said, I am a self-made Ishmael. I said, would you mind cutting off your head and putting a new one on and growing a good one? I don't like that one. Grow another one. How do they get that way, Pastor? I said, one step at a time. 24 years ago, I was on Skid Row. How do they get that way? One step at a time. How did I get out of there and become, you know, fairly wealthy? One step at a time. How does anything happen? One step at a time. Despise not small beginnings. This takes a little bit of a seed. You got yourself an oak tree. You going to stay with me for another 3 minutes while I close this thing? Are you hearing it? And so we as believers are feeble people. Not by might, not by spirit, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And so are you. You listening on a radio. And maybe you're born again right now and sitting there, but you're in a sort of a gray area in your walk. That excites the legalist when you say, well, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. They'll look at you and they'll say, how can you know God? You're so weak and you're so faulty. And they'll look over and say, they are subject to infirmities. But they have overlooked the one powerful thing The gospel message of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, it's got buried somewhere, but it's there and it's still powerful. And so Isaac was called heir. Ishmael couldn't stand it. Look, says the legalist, here stands a man, a drunk yesterday, and over there, look, a whore. Just last week she was a whore. Now she says she knows Jesus. Oh, I'll wait on that one. Check it out. You better check out under your mattress and get all them porno magazines out of there, buddy. Over there, look, a murderer. David was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. Moses was a murderer. Do you mean to tell me that moldy group over there, them misfits over there, are going to be saved, are saved? You're saying they already are? In the end, the Bible says, and mark it down because it's coming to pass right now, in the end, I will raise up the low, base, perverted things of the world to confound the wise. Raise them up, all the whores and all the drunks and all the misfits, all the folks with, some with AIDS, to minister, to confound, it says, the wise. But do you mean they're saved by simply saying, I believe in Jesus Christ? And stand there and declare we know we're saved and that we can't get unsaved? We know we're filled and we know we're going to heaven. Did you ever hear of such presumption? The idea. Well, it's kind of like the person that's saying that is wrapped up in chains. Do you mean that that filth, stinking filth, he says, and goes on as he hugs his chains, hating the presence of a free, born again, happy to be saved, a person that will take her hair and wipe the tears that she shed upon Jesus' feet, that's free, that knows about the grace of God. They wrap their chains around themselves. The man that refuses the mercy of God because he proudly trusts his own merits is angry, I believe, with a man that rejoices to be saved by the grace of God. But perhaps a little Isaac, and this is just the end, perhaps the little Isaac, the child of such aged parents, seemed odd, seemed strange to that young half-breed Egyptian. No person is so much a foreigner to his fellow men as a man that's born from above and believes the promise of God. You are a weirdo. Let us understand, like Jesus, that the more we love, the Bible says, the less we be loved. Yes, Sarah allowed evil to enter her household, hence many tears. And I think from it we have learned this. No association whatsoever with the unregenerate, with the church of God, will avail to alter their nature. And Ishmael in Abraham's encampment is an Ishmael still. And I believe this today with all my heart. The fiercest enemies of the truth of God are aliens in our communion. Those who trust in the grace of God to keep them will to be made to be look in the end like foreigners in their own land. And it says that even almost the elect will be fooled. Good will look bad and bad will look good. And you'll be open to slander. You'll be open to hearsay. How many of you kids in here have been the subject at one time or another in your life to hearsay? Somebody said, well, I heard this and I heard that. Anybody in here? Isn't that a terrible thing? And how do you stop it? How do you stop it when somebody has hearsay? The slander starts and then the hearsay comes. And I'm just warning you because this is going to happen in the end. And then, well, I heard you did this, and I heard you did that, and I heard this, and I heard that. How do you stop it? Don't say anything. Because you're living on a promise. You can't live on hurt feelings. Yeah, they could start just a slander on you, you know what I mean? You're vulnerable, young people, young girls are vulnerable to slander and hearsay, and so are the young guys. Well, you know what I heard? When you get into a situation, when you're really moving on for Christ, you're going to be open to more slander and hearsay, because it's just like I said, those Ishmaels are out there, and even people, I'm talking about people even in the Church of God. Well, come on, they don't want to, you know, they really don't want to pick up your what you're doing, but they'll fight over that bone. Don't enter into that kind of thing in the end. Good is going to look evil, and evil is going to look good. And God is going to send, it says in the end, a seducing spirit is going to be loosed from the pit. You mean God is going to loose? There's going to be a seducing spirit that's going to try to seduce people. The safest thing we can do in the Church of God is start to minister the cause of Christ, the salvation message of Christ, so that when someone comes to preach in our church, all we're going to hear is Jesus Christ, not prosperity teachings, which are a half a truth, which will lead you into full error, not hyper-faith teachings, which is a half a truth and will lead you into full error, because there is hard times and there is persecution and there is suffering. And a lot of people don't want to minister that because it isn't popular to preach it. But the cause of Christ, the covenant, I've spoken of you, I told you today as much as I can in this little bit of time that I have. And so gird yourselves, you who are learning through grace to live upon the promise of God by faith. And after all, wasn't the head of the family despised and rejected of men? Are you greater than your master? How do you think that you're conformed into his image? It's the same pattern. You have to go through the same things. The more Christ-like that you become, the more that you love, the less that you are loved. You even be hated in the house of your friends. Because we partake of Christ's sufferings, we shall be partakers of his glory. Let's take part then, and Lot, with the crucified heir of all things, Jesus Christ. Now, if there's someone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, there's a reason for you being here. There's a reason for me being here. The Bible says, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. And also says, and here's a great mystery, the word is in your mouth and in your heart, the word that we preach. Who put it in there? Before the foundation of the world was even founded, the Bible says, I knew you. I put the word in your mouth and I put it in your heart, the word that we preach. All you have to do is say it. I'll even give you the spirit of repentance, enough repentance to say, I need Jesus in my life. I'll give you that because it's the whole total message is Jesus Christ. You didn't just, I decided to go to Jesus because, tell you what, I'm just sick of this life. No. There's a reason. There's a timing. Is there anyone in here? And it says, don't wait till tomorrow. It says, now is the day of salvation. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and would like to know him? It's a 30-second prayer. Are you born again? Do you know if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Do you? Would you like to pray with me? 30 seconds it takes. Are all of you young people born again? Would you like to come to know Jesus? It's a confession of your mouth. See, there's a lot of power in what you say. The worlds were created when God just gave a word, and you're made in his image. When you say it, it holds a lot of weight And just like your little ones when they learn how to say daddy. Come on, say it. Come on, say it. And usually they say mama first. But I mean, you know. And they say daddy. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 280. That was part two to Promise 2. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're going to find the show notes and scripture links. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. Next Friday's message, Promise 3. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
Indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Somebody.
Terry. Or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby. Or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.